Well, if you be turning in your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Give everybody a moment to get there. Let me make sure I get this thing turned on. There we go. There. All right. Hopefully everybody can hear me out there. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 25.
5:25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth not his wife loveth loveth himself. And no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourish it and cherish it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Amen. So, what is prayer? I mean, why should we pray? I mean, how should we pray? I mean, what kind of relationship can you have with God Almighty through prayer? I'm basically preaching, I'm going to preach a series of messages on prayer, but basically I'm preaching to myself. I mean, I think everybody could learn a little bit more about prayer and have a little bit better understanding of it. You know, there's so many books, there's so many things written. I mean, even books have been written on prayer. But there's all kinds of writing. People have already given their opinions and things about prayer and things. But we need to learn to do less and pray more. Amen? And yet it seems that prayer is neglected in many people's lives. And today, I'd like to talk to you about the mystery of prayer. I mean, it's nothing you can really explain. It's nothing you can reason. Nobody can explain prayer any more than they can explain God. And God's ways are past finding out, the Bible says. Yet, I want to talk to you this thing about the mystery of prayer. Ezra 22, 30 and 31 says this. And he says, "And I," is talking about God, it's God speaking here. He says, "I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their own heads, saith the Lord God." See, God said, "I'm looking for just one man out there who would stand in the gap." And he says, "I don't want to destroy them. I don't want to destroy these people." But God cannot do what he wants to do because he cannot find that one person to stand in the gap. Think about that for a little bit. I mean, you know there was people back there praying every day. You know back in there was religious people. Yet no one was making contact with heaven. Like today, men and women go through the motions of prayer. They have memorized prayers. They have prayer beads. They have prayer rituals. They have prayer books. But how many prayers are making contact with God? You know, James 4, 2 and 3 says this. It says, "You lust, you have not. You kill and desire to have. You cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not." And he says, you ask. On the other hand, if you do ask, you receive not. Why? Because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. See, praying, but there's no contact. Or they're not praying at all. You know, a church that does not pray, God does not move. God has made some fantastic promises to the church. I mean, listen to some of these promises God has made to the church. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus said again in Matthew 18:18, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind upon the earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven." Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall, by any means shall hurt you." Jesus also said in John 10:21, "And Jesus said unto them again, Peace be unto you. As many as my Father has sent me, even so I send you." Which goes along with Matthew 28:18. Again, where Jesus is talking. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and preach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you all, always, even unto the ends of the world." Amen, amen, amen. All power is given unto him. And he's with you unto the ends of the world. See, God has unlimited power. Yet God has limited himself. He's made us partners with him. We implement the decisions that God has already made. God's power has been given unto us. Now, usually when we read Ephesians chapter 5, and the verses that we read starting out this morning, you know, we deal with that as dealing with marriage and our marriage relationships. And I hope you're still there, and I hope you're still turned there. But you go to these passages, and we go to these passages, we learn about marriage, and we learn about our relationship with Christ and the church, and we use that as an illustration for marriage, our marriage relationships. God says, hey, you want better in your marriage, in your marriage relationship? Look at Christ and the church and the relationship there. But the text really, you know what, is using marriage as the illustration, right? He's really talking about our relationship, the church, us, our relationship with Christ, and he's using marriage as the illustration. You know, marriage should reflect that relationship of Christ and his church. And when we read through this, I want you to keep that in mind. Think about that relationship, the most intimate relationship that you have upon this earth. Close. Intimate. It should be the most closest intimate relationship you have on this physical world. God said, I want to have a relationship with you. The most closest intimate relationship we can have. And so when we read through, think about that relationship and that closeness Christ wants to have with each and every one of us. He says there, 5:25, he says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to him a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish." You know, he's talking about you, right? He wants to wash you with the word. He wants you to get things out of your life. He wants to present you as a glorious church. He wants to approach you without blemish. And he says in verse 28, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man has ever hated his own flesh, but nourish it and cherish it, even as the Lord," the church, "nourishing," he's cherishing you. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh." But he says, this is a mystery. I speaking concerning Christ and the church. There's a special relationship between Christ and his church. God is preparing you, the church, for Christ for all eternity. God wants you to become one with Christ. So close that your thoughts line up with the very thoughts of Christ. And remember that in prayer, there's two things I want you to remember. God did not make puppets, okay? I mean, he gave you a free will to make your own choices. And you suffer the consequences of those choices. And the second thing is that we think we got to let God know. You know, God's not out of touch. He's not some way up there you can't get a hold of him somewhere. He's not out of touch. We think our groanings to let God, to get things out of God. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6, 7, starting in verse 7? He says, but when you pray, use not vain reputation, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But you therefore like unto him, for your Father knoweth what things you need of before you ask him. He knows what you have need of. He knows what's going on in your life. You know, Peter says this in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your cares upon him. He careth for you. He wants to hear from you. He wants you talking. He wants you to bring the little things. He wants you to bring the big things. He wants you to bring the little things. He cares for you. He wants to hear from you. Okay? He don't want to hear a bunch of repetition over and over and over again, like the heathens do. Some chant, don't mean chanting some prayer. He doesn't want to hear some chant. That's not communication. That's not a relationship. But he wants you to talk to him. He wants to know what's going on. He wants you to come to him. It said again, Jesus said this in Matthew 7, starting in verse 7. He says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. He that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom a son asks bread, shall give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts unto him that ask him? In other words, talk to him. You know, it's a relationship. He wants to bless you. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to learn to trust him in faith. Faith. Prayer is asking. Prayer is seeking God's will. This is a relationship with Christ. He gives us enough. He loves you enough that he died for you. The relationship where we, the church, is sanctified and cleansed with the washing of the water of the Word of God. We are nourished. We are cherished by God who loves us and cares about us. You know, prayer is not to get things from God, but to learn how God works. Learn how to think his thoughts like a husband and wife relationship. Prayer is bringing God's will to this earth. A prayer is a check that has two signatures on it, and God has already signed. It says in 1 John 5:14-15, he says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. See, someone said, the battle is won or lost in prayer. Christian service is just picking up the results. Prayer is not to help God out. If you have not won the battle in prayer, stay off the battlefield or you're going to get hurt. See, we just need to get a hold of God in prayer, and everything else will take care of itself. You know, that's what prayer is. Just getting a hold of him. He's seeking him, knocking, asking, seeking, and knocking. God wants you to seek him. He wants you asking him. He wants you knocking at his door. We just need to get a hold of God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is knowing and carrying out God's will. Prayer is needing to get our hearts right with God. Prayer is the need to confess our sins. Prayer is recognizing who God is and our need for him. Prayer is the start of revival in our lives, in our families, and in our church. You know, the Welsh Revival, 1904-1905, was the largest Christian revival in Wales during the 20th century. It triggered revival in several other countries. The awakening swept through the rest of Britain, Scandinavian, parts of Europe, North America, the mission fields of India, the Orient, Africa, and Latin America. Newspapers kept tally of the churches swelling with new converts. Over 100,000 new converts in within 6 months period. The Incarnative, the police report, 60% decrease in drunkenness, 40% fewer people in jail in the new year of 1905. The stocks of Welsh Bibles were sold out. They couldn't even find one on the shelves where people were trying to get a hold of a Bible. Profanity was so diminished, it says, that the coal mines that were the pit ponies dragging out the coal carts in the tunnels didn't understand the commands anymore. They just stood still. Because the profanity was gone out of it. You know, in 1860, Charles Spurgeon, he organized prayer meetings in his church from 7 to 7:30 every morning. More than 3,000 people would come on a Monday evenings. Somebody asked him, how do you get the success like this? And he took him in a sanctuary and showed him the prayer room. Is there any more to be need to be asked? Men like Charles Finney, during the Great Awakening, frequently reported prayer and fasting. You know, Hosea 10:12 says this, sow to yourselves right in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow grounds, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. See, we need to seek righteousness. We need to seek God. He is the true righteousness, is he not? We need to have mercy, and the people need to hear about the loving Jesus Christ who died on the cross. We need to break up the fallow. That's a farming deal where you go out and break up the whole hard ground and tear it up so you can plant some seed in there. And we need to break up these old hard hearts of ours, amen, and plow and break them up. And he says, time to seek the Lord. When? Until he come. That's how long. Until rain righteousness upon you. And one of these days he's coming back and there's righteousness in this old world. There's going to be a millennial reign of Christ. And people will actually seek the Lord. There'll be prayer and going on. In fact, it says that in Zechariah 8:20, talking about the millennial reign of Christ, that thousand year when he's reigning upon this earth. See, that's the generation that seeks him. That's the generation that looks for him. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall come to pass that there shall come people in all the inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. And I also will go. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of the hosts of Jerusalem to pray before the Lord. That's what it's going to be like during a thousand year of Christ in this time. People from all over, they'll know the Lord. They'll say, hey, we're going to go up. We're going to go pray. Let's go. I'll go with you. You know what a revival is? It's just many things, pictures of what's going to happen during the thousand-year reign of Christ, where people are actually looking to the Lord, asking and seeking and knocking, actually want to know who the Lord is, and know the importance of seeking the Lord and asking and talking to him. It's going to continue on through that thousand years. That's what a revival is, individually, in our families, or in a church. You know, prayer is the principal thing. It's the mystery of the church. Prayer and Bible is a relationship you have with Christ. You talk to Christ and his word, the Bible, talks to your heart. We need to come to a better understanding of that relationship. In marriage, the things we must learn is how to communicate with our spouse. You both come from different perspectives. You both come from different backgrounds. You need to spend ongoing quality time to know and understand each other. Communication and teamwork are keys to that relationship. You must keep the communication open to continue the relationship. How can two walk together unless they agree? That means communication and it means understanding. And we know God understands us, amen. We may have to do some work on our part to understand who he is. You know, there's a guy called Dr. Chapman who had the five love language. And he says, well, different people have different ways that talk to him about love, right? I mean, and he had these five things that he picked out that he said. He said, well, there's words of affirmation. There's quality time, physical touch, acts of service, and receiving of gifts. You know, it's that deal with the husband. He's worked 80 hours, and he wonders why his wife is leaving him. She says, well, he never spent any time with me. He's looking for that. Somebody says, well, you know, I told her I love her and everything all the time. Well, yeah, but you didn't buy me. If you love somebody, you love them. You buy them things, right? I mean, different people have different things that connects with them. And the mystery, but we understand. We need to develop a relationship. We need to understand. The point is that we need to understand God. And we need to understand, have a relationship with him. We need to get into his word. We need his word to speak to us. We need to pray to him. We need to understand that. Some people say, God, you know, I don't think God loves me. You say, well, how are you that? You say, well, I said he died on the cross for you. Yeah. Well, what has he done for me lately? You know? No. See, let's understand and build that relationship. Let's understand God and what he needs. He understands you. He knows what you need in your life. Amen. The mystery of prayer deals with our relationship with Christ. And I cannot fully explain it, but I know Christ wants a relationship that includes prayer and His Word. Amen. You know, 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I exhort you, therefore, that all, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. He says, this is the good and acceptable in the sight of God and our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. See, he summarized four areas of prayer, general areas of prayer right there. He says supplication. That's where you just make your request to God. That's those kind of prayers. Prayer is just talking to God, just having a time, just spending time talking with Him, telling Him you love Him, telling Him, let's spend some time together. It's, you know, confessing your sins, getting ready. Prayer, that's what prayer is, you know. Intercessions, where you're praying for somebody else, you're interceding, you're praying for them. And then, of course, giving a thanks. He says, God, I thank you. I'm just giving Him the praise and the glory of who He is. It's praising God. Those basically covers all the different areas, four different general areas of prayer, amen? And I think it's something we need to do in our lives, things that we need to practice in our lives. And I would like us just now, as a church body, to come together and pray. Just bring our request, either bring our request, bring our thanks and our praise to Him. You know? Bring it, say, hey, God, hey, I just want to get right with you. I don't need to get humble. That's not Peter. It says, humble yourselves before God. Maybe it's time that we as a group, as a church, that we humble ourselves this morning and spend some time in prayer. And I'd like to hear everybody. I'd like to hear everybody get up and pray. If you just say, thank you, Jesus. I mean, you don't have to. You don't have to do whatever. But just say, thank you, Jesus. But I'd like for us as a church just to spend some time right here at the end of this morning in prayer. And we're going to do this as a family. So if we would turn off the Facebook. And we'll come together as a church, as a family to do this. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord. Lord, we know we need to humble our hearts before you, Lord. We know we need to uplift you. We know we need to build a better relationship with you, Lord. And Lord, I just ask you to forgive us when we fail you, Lord. Help us during those times of temptation when we're tempted to do what's wrong, that you'll come and give us the strength and show us that door, that we'll actually look for the exit door when those things come in our lives, Lord. I ask you to cleanse us and make us the way we ought to be. And I just thank you for this church family, and I ask you to look after them and help them to grow and to know the things that they want to know. They want to grow in your relationship with you. It's not just a religion. It's not just a ritual that we're doing here, Lord. But we're actually lifting it up, and that it's a relationship. We're actually wanting to build a relationship, and that comes with reading your word and understanding your word and also talking to you. Coming just seeking you. I want to see you. I want to see you move in our midst. Lord, I want you to be with us. Help us to make the decisions that we need to make. Help us be able to reach out to people that need to hear your saving message, the gospel message, Lord. Help us all to be what you would have us. Cleanse us, because we know you cherish us and love us. But cleanse us and make us right before you. And we just ask this all in Jesus' name. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for your holy word, Lord. And we just ask you and praise you who you are. Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen, amen. Thank you for taking care of our daily needs. Thank you for the forgiveness that you've given to us. Thank you. Thank you for the promises that what you're coming to the future. Thank you for the promise of keeping us from evil, and thanking you for the forgiveness that you've given us, that you saved our souls. And Lord, we do look for your kingdom, that when the day you'll come up, there will be people who are actually looking for you, seeking you, praying you, looking for you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you and praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name.